I can do it. I want to talk to you today as well, amongst many other things. It's called Pentecost Sunday. It's the 50 days past Easter that the Hebrew calendar recognizes it. It's the Festival of Weeks. It's the Festival of Reaping. It's also called the Day of First Fruits. And if you read your Bible, you'll know in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that when the day of Pentecost had come. Pentecost did not originate in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit fell upon those 120 that were in the upper room. It was also already a day that had been established before. And so this is a day that is recognized as that Sunday, Pentecost Sunday. And I just want to insert this, and I'm not going to preach about it this morning, because we should be living by the power of God every Sunday, not just pick one out of the year to recognize. We should live that way every Sunday. And a church without the power of God's Holy Spirit is not really a New Testament church. We need the power of God's Holy Spirit in our lives, in our churches, in our homes, in our families. Can you say amen to that today? I want to just take just a few moments this morning, and I want to talk about time. I want to talk about life, that it's more than just surviving. It's more than just getting by. It's more than just getting up every day and, oh, I got to just do this, and I'm just trying to get through it. Our relationships mean more to us than sometimes what we can even remotely think of. And did my wife tell me that there's some kids that go to GCC that this is going to be their last Sunday? If that's you, I want you to stand up. We want to clap for you right now. Come on, where are you? Don't hide on me. I'll come back there and get you if it's your last Sunday. Come on, stay. Amen. Good. I'm so happy to see you, honey. God bless you. Thank you so much. Moments matter. Last Sunday, I told everybody that moments matter. In a moment in your life, you can make a decision that will change your future, or God can use a moment in your future, even if there's pain in it, to be a blessing to you and to change who you are. And I'm cognizant about the moments that God has given to us and the moments that we live in and that what we have left. Do you know that in 2015 already, from January 1st to Sunday, May 24th, that we have experienced 143 days, 4 months, 23 days, that's 3,432 hours, give or take a few right now. That's 205,920 minutes, give or take a few, that you and I have already experienced right now. Do you know that it's 215 days until Christmas? Amen. In about 199 days before we set up the trees again. I don't get as many amens on that. 222 days until January 1, 2016. Can you believe that already? Another little bit of trivia. 146 days till my birthday. Amen. And even better than that, 26 days until my wife's birthday. Amen. And that's really an exciting day. But I want to remind you about the speed of time. It's like lightning. And how in our relationships, those that we live with and work with, how that impacts how we enjoy the time that we have. We can either just get by, or we can overcome and go over the top and enjoy and have peace and have the life that God has called us to. But for many of us, there's a gap that represents the relationships that we want and the relationships of where we are, the life that we're hoping for and the life that we're travailing through. And God wants to help us through that gap and get us from that place of where we are to where He wants to take us. This whole service has been about that. God bringing up the thought of people living in fear. God, He doesn't want you living in fear. He wants you to live in faith and trust him. That doesn't mean that times of fear won't happen to you, but we don't live by fear. We live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And I'm cognizant of the time, and even because it's a holiday weekend, that we engage into things that cause us to experience what God has called us to and get past this mindset of just surviving. And so what do we look for? Well, we got to look for those unchecked habits in our lives. The things that we just normally do, that we just automatically revert to and we go to. When I get in the car in the morning, I'm usually coming in at night and I've got my music up higher than what I necessarily want it to be at 5:35 a.m. the next morning. And I get up and the station is already on and the music is already blaring. It's because when I got out, I didn't remember to turn it down or even turn it off to prepare for the next day. And for some of you, or you know somebody, you live a life with these habits that go unchecked. You just revert to what you've always done and how you've always did it, and nothing ever changes in your life, and it contributes to this mentality or this lifestyle of just getting by. And God wants to take you beyond that. Romans 8:2 says, "And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death." You don't have to do what you've always done. Over this holiday weekend, I had people tell me this last couple of weeks, a lady telling me that her husband engages in just this alcohol binge and it throws the whole family into a turmoil. Listen, just because you've always done it doesn't mean you always have to do it. Come on today. You got to get those habits checked under the power of the Holy Spirit and let him lead you and guide you into the way, into the actions, into the lifestyle that he has called and created you to live. And then we have these unhealthy perspectives about life. These are things that we see because we've been previously hurt or assaulted or let down or disappointed. And so we have these colored lenses that we look through at everybody that we come in contact with, our family, people that we love, people that want us to trust them. And we, for some, we don't trust anybody because we've got hurt. So if one person hurts us, that means everybody's going to hurt us. Not true. That's an unhealthy perspective. Maybe you've been hurt by somebody. Somebody's disappointed you. Maybe even a pastor is disappointed. You know how sometimes how hard I have to work? Because people, when they first meet me, they put me in this perspective of somebody that's done something to them in the past. And they just think, oh, you're going to do the same thing. That's not true. That's an unhealthy perspective. Come on, amen me somebody today. You got to get past that. Because if you don't, everything you look at, if you've been through a divorce, you're never going to go into another relationship healthy if you keep on looking at the new person the way the old one treated you. You can amen me if you don't. You know I'm telling you the truth. I spend hours helping people process through that. You got to move on from that. If your wife or your husband has hurt you, if they've done something at a particular time of the year, don't set your perspective that that's always going to be that way. You have to move past that. You know, when I was a kid in high school, I was not a good boy. Not at all. I mean, I was every teacher's nightmare. And especially during prom season. It was not a good time. Well, believe it or not, to this day, I look through a set of glasses that think that everybody does what I did at prom time. And my son is saying amen to me. I used to hate it when they tell me they were going on about. I'd put bugs in their car. I'd have video cameras. Why? They didn't even know it. I was tracking them down. We were watching where they were going. Where are they pulling in now? What do they got? I'd go in and wipe the glass when they went into a party. Smell it. What are you drinking? I'll smack you up, boy. Unhealthy perspective. Maybe to a point, but maybe not totally. And I was wondering about Judas in Mark chapter 14. Since the betrayer had arranged a signal with them, the Bible says that the one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. I wonder if Judas had ever been betrayed. What led this man? We know it was in the Old Testament, but God knows the beginning from the end. What was it in this man's life that led him to do what he did? It was an unhealthy perspective. We had a conversation in the men's Bible study last Tuesday morning, which we have every Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. in the Outback for men. We have breakfast from 7 to 8 o'clock. Boom, we're out of there. Everybody's gone to work. Phil Gardner brings an incredible lesson every week. Men back there, we're men. We open up and we're talking about the works of the flesh, and anger came up. And the night before, something had happened to me. It had nothing to do with church. It was farm related. And I got so I was biting the heads off of nails. I was so upset. And yes, I still have to work on that. I am a man. I got blood running in my veins. Whether you want to accept it or not, I am not perfect. That was not a good time to say amen. Guys, ushers, get these men out of here. I was so upset. I wanted to go and visit somebody, and it wasn't to bless them. And I got in the Bible study, and there's Phil talking about the works of the flesh and talking about anger. And we started talking about it. And you know, God began to work in my heart. And I had this unhealthy perspective. The Bible says in Mark chapter 14, or Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2, people may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. You got to let them look at who you are. We also live with unrealistic expectations. We live with this conscious belief that we think everybody else should do things the way we do them. And when they don't, we're upset about it and we can't understand it. It's because we have unrealistic expectations. And let me help you. I'll set you free. If you put your expectation on the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, he will never disappoint you. Never. Set your expectations on God and release your expectation of others. So how do we make the turn, the change? You got to believe that God can do a miracle. You have to believe that. You can label a situation or a person or a relationship as hopeless, but not if Jesus enters in the equation. When he comes, everything is changed. He brings hope. He is more powerful than whatever situation that you're living in or that you're encountering. He can help you through that. I loved what Jared Ruddy said last Thursday night, which was a powerful night here. He said, I will not sacrifice what I know on the altar of what I do not know. I think that's such a powerful statement. Instead of thinking what you know, don't sacrifice what you know on the altar of what you don't know. Believe that God can do a miracle. Yeah, but he's never done one for me. Okay, that doesn't mean that he's over. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is, he was, he is, and he is to come. He can do anything he wants at any time he wants. And we need to believe that he can do a miracle in our family, in our home, in our relationships. In Luke 18:35, Jesus approached Jericho. A blind man was sitting by the roadside and a crowd going by, and he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You can call on him today and he'll hear you and he'll give you a miracle in your life. He really will. I believe that. You have to also recognize that we are made for relationships. Men are the toughest on this. I know sometimes, guys, you get upset at me. You think, I'm picking on you all the time. I'm really not. I just want you to live well and do well, but you're not good alone. And if you're single, you need other men in your life. Ladies, the same for you. Ladies, that you try to work things out on your own. There's a ladies' Bible study every Monday night in the Outback. I think they start at 6:30. They got 30, 40 women showing up. I don't know. That must be one crazy time out there. I mean, the estrogen is running out the doors out there. Men, listen to me. You need others. Ladies, you need others. Genesis 2:19, the Lord said, it's not good for the man to be alone. And how many men could say an amen on that? And if you haven't figured out how that works yet, you, instead of just trying to survive, you can thrive and know that God is with you. Two are better than one. They have a better return for their labor, Ecclesiastes says. Matthew 22 says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said, love your Lord, your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. This is the first and the greatest. And he said, the second is like the first. You'll love your neighbor. The person right sitting right next to you, you're going to love them. That's the command of God. Love them like you love you. And some of you don't love you. That's why you're not loving others. And you got to love you and know that God loves you before you're going to love anyone else the way he's called you to love. Number three, build on the little things. I told you I'm going to be done in 13.5 minutes. You got to learn to see the best in people. Listen, I don't care who it is. They got something good in them. You got to see the best in somebody. If you're having a struggle with that, just ask God to open up your eyes. What is it inside of them that's good? Let me tell you something. I've said things about other people when the world says they're shot, they're through, they're a waste. And I'll stand up and say, you know what, though? I see some potential in that person. And I've found out in life, I've done this for a while now, that when I speak to the potential in people, that all of a sudden God comes alongside of the words that I declare over them. And something happens in the heart of that person that begins to rise up and be everything that God has called them to be. You got to learn to see the best in people. You have to learn to be an encourager. You got to send somebody a card, make a phone call, do a text, do the small things, even if they don't like it. We sent out cards. I was praying a few weeks ago and I sensed the Lord come back, tell the staff, every one of them, send out 50 cards. If you got a card, how many of you got a card in here? Let me look at that. Do you know that I got a word? I got a call from some people. They didn't like the card. If you're here, eat it and get over it. Didn't like the card. What are they sending me a card for? You need people. I just want to say you need people, you bullhead, but I know that wouldn't be appropriate. You need people. And I want to encourage you, send a card. There's something inside of me when people say, well, I just, when I tell them I love them, yeah, okay, yeah. There's something in me that just wants to push right through that and just get right down to the heart and the nitty gritty and make them squirm right where they're sitting. I wish I was bragging on Chuck and Cheryl. I wish they were in here right now. I'm going to tell a story. I've never told this in public before. All my family's over there. Oh, dear Jesus. 25 years ago, we were in Seattle, Washington. Patty and I, Chuck and Cheryl, I don't know what happened. We were sitting at the table, and I don't know, something happened, and Cheryl got mad at me. Praise the Lord, it's not the first, and it won't be the last. She said, let's go. I'm thinking, I'm driving. Okay, we'll go. And I got back to the hotel room, and I told Patty, I said, I'm not going to let that go. She goes, what are you going to do? I'm going right away. What? Get clothes on, open the door. We're going to battle on all night through this. Do you know that? Do you know something? That was the moment that their lives and our lives changed. And that's why they sit in the front row knowing them some 30 years later. We don't let some little squabble, some little insignificant difference keep us from loving one another. Come on, somebody. We push through it. You got to push through sometimes. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage each other. Build each other up. Not tear down, build up. It's not always easy. But whatever it is, you just got to do it. I love this in the New Living. 1 John 3:18, stop saying you love one another and show it by your actions. Don't tell me all the time, love you, brother. And then when I need you, oh, sorry, I'm too busy. I got to watch reruns of Flipper or whatever. Show you love it. Show you love somebody else. Reach out to somebody. Be the life that God has called you. And then lastly, you got to let God love you. You got to let him love you. You got to let him in. You got to quit just surviving. If you want to thrive and go over the top, you have to let God in your life. You got to let him have an intervention with you. If you're miserable here, if you were one of the ones that didn't like the card, you need God to come into your life and straighten some things out in you so that you can accept the love of God and the love of God from and through others in your life. Because if you're alone in this thing, you're going to be in a lonely life and it ain't even going to be fun for you anymore. Come on. Do you agree with that? Can you give the Lord a great hand clap of praise today? Close your eyes, bow your head with me. We're going to pray. Just some of the prayer folk, come on down here. I know we've already had time at the altar, but if God is working in your heart before you leave today, I just want to close in prayer and ask God to bless you and to keep you and to use you and to do something beautiful in your life. You don't have to do it alone. He's here to help you. He's here to lift you up. He's here to be an encourager to you. And these folks that are down here praying, they're going to help you. They're gonna pray over you. Close your eyes, bow your head. They're gonna pray over you. They're gonna bless your life. They're gonna bring hope and life to you. You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to do it alone. Man, I sense the love of God. If you're here this morning, you never gave your heart to Jesus. You got to do that today. You can try it all you want to on your own. If I've had a nickel for every time that somebody's been addicted in their life and they say, I can do this alone. You can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. You need other people in your life to help you. You need that help. Benjamin, come on up, honey. You need people to help you in your life. You need people to stand with you and to pray with you and say, I need some help. Some of you, you're just so, you're tough-headed. You're strong. But that's not strength, that's weakness. You need him in your life. Who am I talking today right now? You're at the precipice of just sliding over the edge. But God says, I want to help you today. I want to lift you up. I want to bring life. I want to breathe hope into you today. When you leave here today, and when Ben begins to pray and he closes, I want you, if that's you, I want you to get out of your seat and come down. Let one of these folks pray for you. If you're here today, you never gave your life to Christ. You need to do that before you leave today. He's not wanting you to be perfect. He just wants you. And he wants to help you and to show you. Maybe you're here, you're alone. You feel lonely. I sense that in my heart, my spirit right now. Somebody, you're here, you just feel so alone, so lonely. You don't have to anymore. You can come out of that. You could rise above that. Hallelujah. Benjamin, pray, honey.
Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for every open heart here, Lord. We thank you for the service that you've given us today. And Lord, we thank you for working in our lives. I pray that you'll seal these things that have happened today, Lord. The fear will be gone out of the lives that you've changed. But Lord, and I thank you for families, and I thank you for change, God, in each and every life that's here today. I pray that you'll bless every person here and be with them this week as they go in and out of work, in and out of their homes and their relationships. I pray that you'll bless them this week. In your name we all pray. Amen. Say amen with me. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. Have a great week. Enjoy.